Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
And we're back. I'm Ashley McKinless, along with Tim Reedy, and today we're talking with Sister Pat Daly about corporate responsibility and socially responsible investing. We invite you to join the conversation at 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. So, Sister Pat, we've talked about your work with environmental issues. I'm wondering what other concerns you and your group have.
The ICCR members and our own Tri-State Coalition members have a rather robust human rights program as well. We believe sustainability issues certainly include human rights. One of the deep concerns that is held by our organization, as well as, you know, we now know that faith communities around the planet have been really attentive to, is how many people are trafficked, you know, the bonded slaves today. And we've understood that slaves come into the supply chain through brokers who they then have to pay for years and years and years, and those brokers are holding their documents. So the first company that agreed to include in their human rights policy a no brokers fee was ADM, which is one of the largest companies on the planet who, you know, ADM and Cargill run the food around the planet. They source from 400,000 growers. They know what's being grown at every moment. A little spooky, but imagine how many employers are, you know, working the fields and all of those. This is huge agribusiness projects. So they're, it takes a while to really implement all of this, but they're well on their way to implementing that policy. We now have another 60 companies who have given us a no fees piece, so that throughout the supply chain, agriculture, fisheries are really very much at risk, but certainly the supply chain, factories and the apparel industry and the electronics industry, all of those industries and supply chains are exposed to trafficked laborers. So this is a game changer, right? This is, so many of us are attentive to people who have been rescued. But this is trying to prevent this and really shut down the business, because trafficking exists because it makes huge amounts of money. We think it's probably a $32 billion industry every year.
So there are huge market demands, market forces you're fighting against.
Huge. And of course, when you sit down with executives at, let's say, an ADM or in the auto industry, you know, people are like, you know, they're appalled that there could be people, you know, slaves in the supply chain, right? They don't want anything to do with this. So it's really a matter of just bringing this to the attention of people. And then, you know, these are good people in companies who are saying, no, we're not going to participate in this. Now we've got to figure out how to get this out of the supply chain and really invite people into full employment, right? So that's the other piece that we need to do, obviously, is make sure that people in countries, very poor countries, don't have to leave their communities and their families looking for labor elsewhere.
Now, you mentioned earlier that there are different strategies for people who want to make, you know, affect change. Mm-hmm. And one of them is the shareholder activism. But we've also seen a growing movement for divestment, especially unlike, you know, related to fossil fuel companies, back to the environmental
exactly.
question. So maybe you can compare and contrast those two approaches.
Sure. The divestment, very often people think that the beginning of our program, because we did start with South Africa, that we were a divestment program. We weren't. We worked with companies. It was a disinvestment program, getting companies to leave South Africa because they were part of the tax base, you know, the operations of that apartheid government. you know, our members aren't going to divest. We are socially responsible investors. We take this seriously where, you know, we've had we've seen so many points that you can look at in terms of real progress with companies. If you're an investor that's not a socially responsible investor, that you don't even know what's in your portfolio, you've never written a shareholder resolution, you've never written a letter to a company, and you've never voted for one of our proxies, yes, go ahead and divest. You should know that.
Okay, so
you're an irresponsible investor. So, you know, so join in with the responsible ones or divest. Go ahead.
For people, you know, ordinary people who aren't involved in this and, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they have a 401k and they don't really know where their stocks are, what advice would you give them for?
You know, they're probably invested in mutual funds, so it's probably important to ask the question, what's in the mutual fund, right? There are companies, many colleagues that I work with who run financial management firms who have socially responsible investment funds. So, you know, to seek those out, you can go into socialinvest.org and, you know, pretty much get a list. There are many socially responsible investment firms who are members of ICCR who not only just screen out companies, but they also engage. They're at the table with the faith communities in engaging companies as well. Right.
So when you talk about the screening out companies, for example, there are some funds, it's like we're never going to fund or invest in any company that's involved in any kind of military production, as an example.
Correct, or gun producers, or you know, any, you know, there are
tobacco
a variety.
Or something.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. What we find is that, you know, there are church groups that don't have, maybe they don't, they're not widely invested, but they do have some investments from the old days, long before we realized how horrible this was. That that gives us the opportunity to really go into dialogue or file resolutions with companies, even the tobacco industry. And tomorrow morning I'll be at Pfizer at their annual meeting moving a shareholder resolution on lobbying and their political activities.
Right? So you obviously meet with a lot of executives, people mm-hmm. who have dedicated their lives to business. And Pope Francis has called business a noble vocation, having spent a lot of time with business people. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with him?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a matter of, I think Pope Francis and certainly the work that we've done, we've invited executives to really see how they can integrate their faith commitments. That, you know, this is not just being a Christian or a Catholic. You don't just leave that in church, right? And it's not about not stealing the paper clips. It's really what kind of impact does this business have? And, you know, it used to be years ago when they just didn't want those nuns showing up, right? but, you know, today we really are, it's just amazing. I'm very privileged to work with people who are transforming capitalism, right? Because there are many things that are very serious problems around capitalism. But you can also say that's helped development. There are a variety of other pieces. But to work with companies, let's say in mining communities, who, you know, now realize the plight of indigenous peoples, right? So you're inviting them to understand the impact of the company and the company's business and what needs to be really seriously changed. Right?
I think it's important to underline what you just referred to is that women religious sisters have been involved in this work for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. And men religious too. The Jesuits have been working, you know, as ICCR members right from the beginning as well.
And it seems to echo Pope Francis' call, which is, you know, obviously he's very critical of capitalism in some ways, but he's not saying we should abandon it. He says it needs some correction, and that's exactly the kind of work you're engaged
in. That's
right.
So we really have this long history. It was so heartening to see an encyclical that actually mirrored the concerns and, you know, kind of the preaching that we've been doing for decades and decades. So we took the letter and sent it to a lot of CEOs and said, let's just talk about this. And colleagues of mine have written about why CEOs need to read the encyclical.
Yeah, and would you say, do they respond to the moral authority of the Pope, even if they're not Catholic?
There's a large spectrum of people in response to that. Some people very much see, and people of faith, a very broad spectrum there. You don't have a lot of people who are really going to take on the Pope, right? But that I've met within companies. But it's hard when if you have lived your life where the bottom line has always been the financial bottom line, to really integrate the other bottom lines, the environmental, social, and governance concerns that shareholders and certainly faith communities have been raising.
Now, you mentioned earlier, we were talking about the screen process, how there might be certain companies. It's obvious you don't want to invest in perhaps a military operation or gun producer, but there's other companies where it's unclear whether it is like that they may be spinning you in a certain way, mm-hmm. And saying, okay, we're green, for example. You can trust us, but how does the average investor kind of handle that? Figure that out.
There were certainly so many papers that are out there now. There is ICCR.org, the website of my group. We have a sense of, if a company is getting, 8 shareholder resolutions on one issue, then, there are some issues here. But we really try to, so there was far more information than there had been even 10 years ago, right? CDP is an organization that tracks the corporate greenhouse gas emissions and also their water footprint, right? So there are great research groups like Sustainalytics and ISS who also do help investors kind of figure this out. What we try to do is to make sure that, we're not looking to demonize anybody, right? And I think that, especially with the divestment campaign, that can be easy to do, right? They're bad, they're wrong, I'm going to wash my hands of this and I'm going to get a good night's sleep. Well, I really feel this is AP religion here and this is AP business. Right, you've got to work out. This is you may feel good about that, but you're probably driving a car or plugging in your electronic equipment, and you're still driving as a customer. Right, so even if you're attempting to cut back, and maybe you're not eating meat anymore, or a variety of other things to align your personal life with the cries of the planet and the poorest of poor people who are have really been the victims of capitalism over the years. It's a lot of work, right? This is not easy stuff, but I think in my experience, this is really where the gospel meets the road, right? And this is one of the most exciting and I think productive ministries in the church today. And has been for years. And so it's been it's great to be able to talk about it.
And you just point out, which I think is important to let our listeners know, is that even if you're not investing in something, there are ways as a consumer you can make choices depending upon what you buy or, how much you acquire that do have an effect upon, these companies and some of the decisions they make.
Exactly. And there used to be this, and this was back in the late 70s, there was a little media piece that I used when I was a teacher with my high school students in my morality class of guess who's coming to breakfast. And it went through all of the countries and all of the circumstances that, especially the companies that were involved in just sitting down between the coffee and the milk and the cereal and the fruit. Right, in terms of how you were really part of impacting people's lives just by having a bowl of cereal and some coffee.
Also, those are important lessons. And we want to refer our listeners to the Tri-State Coalition for Responsible Investment. You can go to their website, which is TRICRI interfaithcorporateresponsibility.org. And the other organization is the Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility.
That's right, and that's iccr.org. That's also a we try to make sure we're not duplicating that, but ICCR is really the larger organization with really huge amounts of information out there.
So those are two good places to start if you're interested in engaging more on these questions. So, well, Sister Pat Daly, thanks so much for joining us today.
This has been delightful. Many, many thanks.
Well, thank you, and
invitation.
Good luck in your next chapter here with Pfizer.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel. We'll be back to talk with John Sweeney, a contributor to America who has a new book out about called The Enthusiast, which is about the best friend of Saint Francis and how he almost destroyed what he started. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.